Happy Easter from New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Now here's Pastor Michael with this week's message, Unfathomable Love. Happy Easter, everybody. Thank you for coming to church today. The title of the message today is Unfathomable Love. There are many reasons why the unbeliever decides to accept Jesus into their hearts. Some are caught up in vices and realize God desires to help them out. Some are in the midst of danger and the heat of it all accept Jesus into their lives. I've even heard stories of hard cases who were saved. There's a friend of mine back when I was in church in Lumberton, New Jersey. And there was a guy, and he was a mean guy, motorcycle guy. And his wife tried to get him to keep coming to church. And one day she did. And one day he was sitting in there, and the pastor gave an altar call. And he said, I won't go up there. And my friend Mike Brandon was behind him. He tapped on his shoulder, had a big beard like him, motorcycle guy like him, and said, I dare you to go up there. And the guy said, you what? He said, I dare you to go up there. He says, I've never turned down a dare. And he started walking towards the altar and fell on his knees and cried like a baby as the Holy Spirit came upon him. So there are many reasons that people accept Jesus, but there's one reason, and I know this one personally. My reason was because of the unconditional and abundant love that our Savior and Lord has. I looked for love in family, friends, and women and couldn't find it. I just wanted someone to love me for me and accept me for who I am. I was looking for love which I thought was not possible and would never find. Just like the country song, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. Then one day I found a God who loves me and accepts me. He came into my life and it was strangely warm, just like Wesley. My life and my lifestyle began to change as I embraced him. He now lives in my heart and I am forever changed. The best part is, and we're in 1 John chapter 3 today. We're starting in verse 1 if you're following along in your Bibles. And verse 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are! Exclamation point. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. This is emphatic. John is saying he wants us to think about this now. Lavished, expended, bestowed, or occurring in vast abundance, using or giving in great amounts. The Greek is, you are in the present possession of that love as a believer, and it abides in you now. The Greek is, you are family, the children of God, born again believers, the born ones of God. Now think about this. God agapes us. He bestows on us in abundance and greatness and calls us born children of God. This is incredible stuff. His love is separate than anything else that we could ever understand. We look at love in our interests, or in our attractions, or in our similarities, for our friendships, how I love things, like my tech, and my electronics, or my vehicle, how I love my pets, and enjoy them, my wonderful puppies, how I love my children, and desire good things for them, how I love my wife, and am intimately connected to her. We can compare, and we can't compare anything we would understand in our own lives to the love that God has lavished on us. The love he has is a love we could never earn or deserve. It is a love we could never understand or achieve in ourselves. It is a holy love, separate from any other love, and we either have to accept it or reject it. It's not a feeling that we get, but we have to believe and have faith in it. After I got saved, I had what was called a honeymoon stage. People would come to me and say, hey man, you wait till the honeymoon stage starts and God answers all these prayers. And I felt God's unfathomable love in an amazing way. I would pray for stuff and it was answered quickly. I felt God's presence all the time and it was a beautiful time. Then after the honeymoon, I couldn't feel anything. And God taught me that even though I didn't feel anything, He was always there. Most people feel Him, and when they don't feel Him anymore, they walk away. I feel Him at times, and there are times that I don't. And I know He's always with me whether I do or don't feel His presence. He never leaves us or forsakes us, and that is truth that we receive in faith. Now there are false teachers, and those who would pull you away, but think on this. God, even though there is nothing good in us, came to us and died for us on a Good Friday. Then angels who were not made to understand this love were mystified that He has it for humans. It is a love bestowed on us all the time that we could never understand, and because of that, the world does not experientially know us because they do not experientially know Jesus. Then you go share Jesus with your friends and your family because they're not saved and don't experientially know Him in a personal way. You tell them God came into your life and changed it, then they attempt to figure it out with their minds. You tell them just accepting Jesus is as easy as asking, and they believe it takes work or goodness. You tell them that they're sinners, and they say no, that they're good enough in their deeds. Then you get upset because what you say doesn't make sense to them, when you need to realize something. It's like telling a deaf person to listen to this great song that you heard, or offering a picky person a foreign delicacy they never ate before. It'd be like asking a blind person, what do you think about that rainbow? They can't tell you because they don't know, and it would be cruel to do that to them. So we need to be patient with those who don't know, and patient as they need the Holy Spirit to help them along. God says people who won't accept Jesus are blind. The Word says in 2 Corinthians 3:14 through 16, but their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil, when the old covenant is read, it has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So if you're upset that your unsaved friends and family don't accept Jesus, remember 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So believers, we need to pray that the veil is removed and that God removes that veil. If anyone here has a veil, I pray that Jesus will remove it right now. They cannot see salvation in Jesus. That is why we sing, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was veiled, was blind, but now I see. Verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not been yet made known, but we will know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We will be like Him. Jesus, when He rose us from the dead, it says in Philippians, when we rise, we will be made like Him. Jesus appeared to His disciples. He was in flesh and bone, but could float through walls. Jesus was eavesdropping when Thomas said, I don't believe. Then a week later, He went back and said, Jesus, Thomas, put your hands in my side. Put your hands in the piercings. We are going to receive new bodies. We're going to be just like Him. We will receive a new drive system that will not be able to sin. It will be immortal. Verse 3. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. Having this hope continually in Him, it has an effect on our lives. And as we walk in Him, it will continually purify us. On this Easter, as we study 1 John, I desire to bring you truth in love. Because there's too much noise in this world that will attempt to drown God's truth. Too much junk that the enemy would have you marry with God's pure deity. Too much garbage that has gotten into the Church of America. He who has ears, let them hear what I am about to say. Since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the devil has lost because God proclaimed all those years ago he would send a Messiah through a virgin birth to smash the enemy and his schemes because he loves us and sin has separated us eternally from him. So for thousands of years, people, in order to go to heaven, needed to believe in God and the coming Messiah who would save them. But the enemy, in his anger, started a theological campaign to get you smashed and destroyed along with him. Satan got into the mind of a man named Nimrod. Nimrod had a family, a wife named Semiraris, and a son named Tammuz. And Nimrod built a tower, and he called it the Tower of Babel, which, by the way, Nimrod means to rebel against God. Nimrod's son died, and he was gored to death by a boar. The devil then placed it in Nimrod's head to mimic something beautiful. So Nimrod made a lie. His son Tammuz supposedly rose from the dead. Then Tammuz became a god to many, and the Tower of Babel a symbol, and many religions spawned from it. Tammuz became Baal, then Cupid, even the Hindu god Ishtar. It's interesting because until Tammuz, people only worshipped one god and believed in a coming Messiah. Now Nimrod started something crazy. Other religions began to form through this Tower of Babel, and people began to follow the lies. Satan's plans were developing, and many religions formed from the Tower of Babel. They even morphed into other faiths: Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Sikhism, and some of the major ones. But then some others were developed, like Scientology, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, all stemming from the work of Nimrod and the Tower of Babel and Tammuz. All deceptions. So people would follow a wide path to destruction. In Revelation chapter 17, John the Apostle looks into the future at the Antichrist. The Antichrist, which rides into power, a one-world religion called the Whore of Babylon. He says the names written on her forehead was a mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that women... The woman was drunk with the blood of God's holy people, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, and I want us to focus on this, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The word astonished refers to John being in shock. The reason behind his shock was he saw a leader in the end times riding on the religions of Tammuz, a religion created so many thousands of years back, built on lies and deception, a tower, the Tower of Babel. He who has ears, let them hear. There is one God. I hear that all the time. We worship the same God. That is a lie. Jesus is not connected to Tammuz or the religions of Tammuz. He is not the same God. God prophesied in Genesis a virgin birth would destroy Satan and his schemes. Jesus is God. He came in human flesh to save us. Why? Because he loves us. He lived a sinless life and never sinned because he loves us. The Bible says he was beaten, scourged, his beard ripped out, a crown of thorns pounded down on him, and had to carry a cross. Why? Because he has an unfathomable love for us. He hung from that cross, and there God poured the cup of wrath, the sins of the world upon him. Your faults, your mistakes, your sins, and my sins. And in great agony he screamed as he was separated from his Father. That makes one time so he could be free of sin. Because why? Because he loves us. Then he defeated that sin, and 3 days later, he rose again because Jesus has an unfathomable love for us. That is the God that I serve. Not the Gnosticism of a religion people would say is Christianity. Gnosticism is not Christianity. I am good enough to go to heaven or can work to go there. That is Gnosticism. The Bible says no one is good enough. And that is why Jesus had to die on our behalf. He is only good enough to take away our sins. The only way to get to heaven is by making him Savior and Lord of your life. Well, I'm a Christian, but I also follow this religion. That's Gnosticism. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Singular, emphatic. He didn't say, I am the way, but you can also follow Buddhism and Scientology and other religions. He said, I am the light of the world. Singular, emphatic. Nothing more, nothing less. You can't mix and match religions with true Christianity. Well, I'm a Christian and I believe in reincarnation and karma. Gnosticism. The Bible says you die once and you face judgment. There is no purgatory, no second chances. You have one chance to make the right decision in this life. Karma is not Christian. It is a concept of Hinduism, which comes from the Tower of Babel, and it comes from Tammuz. I'm a Christian, but Jesus is not God. He was a prophet or a good person. Gnosticism. Jesus said he is the only way to heaven, and he said, I and the Father are one, John chapter 10, verse 30. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am, John 8, 58. If you say Jesus is anything else besides God, you call Jesus a liar, and he is not the Messiah. That's why when a Muslim tells me Jesus is the one of their prophets, I point to them these scriptures, because Jesus said he is God, and a prophet has to prophesy correctly to be a true prophet. So a Muslim is telling me that Jesus is God, which contradicts their beliefs, but they are the ones contradicting them by saying that Jesus is a prophet. He who has ears, let them hear. Jesus is God, and all other religions are false creations stemming originally from the Tower of Babel. We need strong believers in this world today, and that only comes a few ways. First, a believer must be truly saved. They must not only accept Jesus Christ as Savior, but also as their Lord. God's Holy Spirit must infuse with theirs, and they begin a walk. Number one, Jesus created church. Church is good because he created it, and he desires us to come together and be part of a body. A Christian meets with other Christians on the Sabbath, and even at times during the week. If you have a problem with church, you have a problem with what Jesus created. Number two, Jesus gave us the Bible. It's not just a book, and if you believe it's just a book, that's Gnosticism. It was written by men inspired by God's Spirit to learn about God's unfathomable love for us. If you have a problem with the Bible, then you have a problem with what the Holy Spirit gave us. Number three, Jesus created us. He desires one thing, not for us to work or for us to make the earth a better place. He made us to call us his children and to have a relationship with us. Nothing more and nothing less. He loves us, and we celebrate Easter today because he rose to save us from hell. And yes, there is a hell. And if you don't believe that, that is Gnosticism. Jesus talked about hell more than anything else in the Gospels over 25 times. He talked about it more than blessings, more than prosperity, more than salvation, more than the end times, more than anything else, which gets me to believe he knows it's real, and he wants more than anything for you not to go there, which he won't send you there. Your sin does that by not accepting him as your Lord. Nothing more and nothing less. That is the beauty of Easter. Easter is when we celebrate something unfathomable. Hell was poured on Jesus at Calvary. The anger and wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. So you and I have the choice to have it poured on us or not to have it poured on us for all of eternity. only if we place everything in Christ Jesus. And if Jesus has such an unfathomable love to do that for us, then why can't we give him love back by accepting him and walking with him daily in the things he created so we could understand his unfathomable love? He who has ears, let him hear. I hope you understand this. This was the birth of all other religions. They come from one place that was made out of a ziggurat and made out of brick and oil. It is a place called Babel. And from there, all other religions were made by a man whose name is to rebel against God. And what are people doing today? Rebelling against God. Why are they rebelling against God? We talked about the veil earlier, and it said in that verse in 2 Corinthians that the God of this age has veiled them, that Satan, the devil, has veiled their hearts, which leads them to want to follow other faiths, other religions, other beliefs that were all stemming, which at one point, like I said, it was one God, one Messiah to look forward to, stemming from a tower many years ago called Babel. I want you to understand God has a beautiful love for you. He loves you so much. He loves you more than your spouse. He loves you more than your family. He loves you more than your friends. And the beautiful part is he loves us more than anything else. And the only thing he loves just as much as you is he loves me. And it's just as much he loves me, he loves the criminal in the jail. He loves the prostitute on the corner. He loves the drug addict. He loves the heroin dealer. He loves the businessman who's going to work, or the woman in corporate America. He loves the white-collar worker, the blue-collar worker. He loves Americans and Russians and Germans and all different people, all the children of the world. Like we sing, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We are his children when we accept him and make him the Lord of our lives. And we should remember that this Easter, that he has a beautiful love. Two things I'd like to pray for today is that you would remember and that you would experience his unfathomable love. But also I want to pray for those who are caught up in the religions and the falsities of Tammuz today. So let's close. Lord, I pray for this Easter day that, Lord, you would help us to understand your love. And thank you so much for this great and mighty love that you have for us that can never be knocked down. You have such a beautiful and unfathomable love that we could never understand. And Lord, I pray for those people that you love that are caught in the religions of Tammuz, that are caught believing in lies. And pray, Lord, that you would open their hearts, that you would open their lives, that your Holy Spirit would rip the veil from their eyes, and they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Father, in that, Lord, today I give you praise. I give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our website at www.newhopecommunityfmchurch.org. Click on the image scroller and subscribe to this podcast. And remember, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.